Amen?
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Grab your Bibles. Give the worship team a giant hand. You guys are awesome. I was going to get up and start singing for a minute. And then sanity hit me, and I thought, probably not. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We actually have a lot of scriptures this morning. If we get to them all, you will experience a miracle. Amen? We are in a series on freedom, and it's culminating next week with our Freedom Conference. If you have not registered, register. You will love our guest speaker, Dr. Nick Goff. He is a theologian, but he's a man of the Spirit. This man will prophesy and release healing. He has just been a friend for many years. He's amazing. Childcare, moms and dads, childcare on Friday night and Saturday night. Our Saturday afternoon is a prophetic activation session. We will not have childcare for that, but Friday in the evening and Saturday evening. So sign up. It's going to be great. Amen? And sign up before Thursday, because online closes Thursday, and then you have to spend more money, and we want to be good stewards with our money. Amen? I do. So I want to talk about reformation this morning. Everybody say reformation. Some of us aren't sure what that means. I want to read the definition of freedom. I've shared this a couple of times in this series. Again, Webster's 1828 dictionary. As you look words up, I love Webster's 1828 dictionary because it's so full of scripture. It's so full. You will not find in modern dictionaries what you will find in Webster's 1828 version. It is absolutely amazing. Here's the definition of freedom. A state of exemption. Everybody say exemption. It's a state of exemption from the power or control of another. It's liberty. Freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. I really believe that we need a reformation. And when I say that, I'll give you, again, Webster's definition of reformation. It's the act of reforming something. It's correction or amendment of life. How many of you guys need your life amended on a regular basis by God's love and power? If your hand's not up, you didn't hear what I said. I need to be reformed on a regular basis because I can so easily get into the routine of Christian stuff, and I can just go through the motions, and I can lose the purpose that God created us. The purpose God created you and I is to be with Him and in His presence. Amen? Everybody say His presence. When God created Adam and Eve, you guys, it's because He wanted to hang out with them. Amen? Do you guys know God was never lording over Adam and Eve? Amen? You guys are really quiet. Somebody goes, yeah, but He lords over me. No, that's what our bad belief systems are. God's not trying to lord over us. He's trying to hang out with us because He's a good Father. And when sin entered the world, it threw a major curveball, not to God. Please catch this. How many of you guys know God didn't flinch when Adam and Eve sinned? How many of you guys know it didn't shake God? God didn't go, oh my gosh, I wasn't ready for this. He was ready for it. And guess what He did? He went right back down to talk with them like He did every single day. Here was the problem. Man started to hide. God never hid. God didn't run away. Man did. I say that because I think the number one ploy of the enemy is to get you not to engage with your Father. I think Satan loves to throw curveballs at us to make us think, well, I don't know about that, and I'm not a king, I'm not a priest, I'm not that. Everybody say king.
King.
Say priest.
Priest.
The Bible says that you're a king and a priest. But most of us haven't been taught that. So you guys say, well, Pastor, you do all that work, whatever that is, and I'll just come to church and try to be a good Christian. No, get connected to the Father. Understand what it means to be a priest and a king, and let the reformation of His presence change your heart forever. Amen? So I want to give you guys just a little bit of history. How many of you guys have ever heard of Martin Luther, the reformer Martin Luther? So, crazy story. When I first got saved, my pastor talked about Martin Luther, and I thought he was talking about Martin Luther King. How many of you guys know, if you've not been in church history, you know nothing about it? So he's talking about it, and he's all, Martin Luther, the great reformer. I don't even know what he's talking about. And I'm thinking Martin Luther King, and all of a sudden he goes, 1500 and something. I'm like, bro, I'm pretty sure it was the 1960s. And then I found out that he was talking about a professor named Martin Luther, who was teaching theology, actually moral theology, at the University of Wittenberg in Germany. The known Western world at that time, all of Europe was mostly Catholic at that time, in the 16th century. In 1517, on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther took 95 what we would call bullet points, and he nailed them to the university door at Wittenberg. Now, it wasn't in rebellion. Many professors, if they had something they wanted to discuss with people, would take their writings and nail them to a door so people could get copies if they couldn't come to the oral lecture. So Martin Luther was going to have an oral lecture on his 95 bullet points of why we do not need a pope or a priest, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. Okay, now let me go back and say this. This is the definition of freedom. Freedom is a state of exemption from the power or control of another. I don't think people purposed it necessarily, but it just evolved more and more to where religiously and politically you had people trying to rule over people, and then there becomes this elitist mentality. How many of you guys know we're all the same? God created us all equal, amen? So I want to share with you guys a text that I got this week, actually last week. So one of our intercessors had sent me this text. And it said, hey, Pastor, I was praying for you, and I got a picture. I saw God hand you this electric cattle prod. I like where this is going. And you used it on some of the cows. Everybody say, that's me. And you used it on some of the cows that weren't moving along with the rest of the herd. They were content, listen carefully, they were content on grazing on old, dry stubble and not headed towards the richer pasture where the rest of the herd was moving. As you shocked them, they lifted their heads and caught a glimpse of what was ahead. The shock did not harm them, but it did jolt them out of their complacency. All that to say, Pastor, is you're a good rancher. So, a friend of mine brought me this flashlight. But it's not just a flashlight. It also is like a modern day cattle prod. I thought, man, that's cool, bro. I'm not. But how many of you guys have been feeling slightly complacent? So at the end of service, we're going to have a prayer line. So I'm going to get some staff behind you. Sometimes we get slain in the spirit. Sometimes we get zapped. So if you need a little jolt this morning, just come see me after service, and I will lovingly. Now, I know some of you only need this, right? Because you're just kind of really good. You like, that's all you need. Now, some of us are a little bit hard-headed. And you might need this. What's crazy is one of my friends' first service was like, I'll do it. I'll come up there. He wanted to do the analogy for you guys. I'm like, you're a sick individual, man. He's like, Ma, that's just a little one. That's not even like, I've done them with 50,000 volts and stuff. I go, I knew you were like a little jacked up in the head. Now I know why. So this morning, in love, I'm going to give you guys a little cattle prod, because reformation's not going to happen by hearing one good sermon. Reformation's going to come by hearing a truth and us collectively working together to see it come to pass. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, this is what Scripture says. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Everybody say, the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Everybody say, freedom. Okay? Jesus sets us free. Now watch. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the what? So let me give you a quick glimpse of the word glory. So we hear that word. We realize that there was a cloud that led Israel by day and a fire by night. How many of you guys remember that? They call it the glory cloud. When you hear the word glory, it can represent a lot of things, but it mostly represents the presence of God. Everybody say, the presence. The Reformation, in my heart and belief, is you and I have to believe when God says that we are all kings and priests, he actually meant it. How many of you guys really believe that you're a priest of God? See, most of us not. Now look, it's not your fault. So this is where I should zap myself, right? How many of you guys know leaders probably need to shock themselves? Because if we haven't trained you in understanding your identity as kings and priests, how many of you guys know it's not your fault? Martin Luther wrote 95 bullet points. He wasn't trying to be rebellious. He got ultimately excommunicated from the Catholic Church. A few years later, they excommunicated him. But he said, listen, Scripture is clear. You guys that were here for the Book of Galatians series we just finished, Martin Luther said the Book of Galatians was his favorite book. Remember in the series on Galatians, we don't try to add to the gospel or we don't take away. How many of you guys know it's spiritual abuse if I start selling you indulgences? In other words, you're okay, but you're really not okay. But for even people that end up in purgatory, if you go do some good things, indulgences, it grew to the place where you could just purchase one. If you just put a little money in the coffer, then I will give you a paper that gives you a nice freedom. How many of you guys know that's control over your life and Jesus would never want us to have that? I don't care if it's political or religious, not to be harsh about what was going on. Jesus never wants that. Jesus wants you to understand that every one of you in this room is a priest. Say, I am a priest. Come on, say, I am a priest. Say, I am a king. Or I am a queen. So, okay, you guys got that. Some of you are like, wait a minute, am I both of those? Because I can't operate in that, Pastor. So, as we look at Reformation, millions and millions of people started to hear the message of Martin Luther, and it started to awaken their hearts, i.e., every single Christian should have their own Bible. Do you guys know that still in many circles, that churches don't really want to give people a Bible because it gives them more control over their lives? How many of you guys know every one of you should not only have your own Bible, you should know your Bible and live your Bible, right? Our job is to equip you to understand what it means to be a king and priest, okay? The kingship represents the royalty of a believer, and the priesthood represents literally what priests would be doing is they were intercessors and intermediaries, and they would be the ones that would prepare in the temple of God the sacrifices that his glory could come, that his presence could come. In Exodus, when Israel falls into 400 years of slavery, right? God sends Moses, a type and shadow of Christ, as the deliverer. He takes them out of Egypt bondage, and he brings them to Mount Sinai. What does Mount Sinai represent? Remember the mountain, and there's the glory cloud of God would come on top of the mountain. And here was the problem. All the people looked at Moses and said, You go talk to him. Why? Because we're afraid. What was the first words out of Adam's mouth after the fall of man? Where are you, Adam? Are you hiding? How many of you guys know God never needs to ask a question? He always does it for our sake. Amen? Where are you? Why? I'm afraid. I would submit to you that many of us in this room don't know who we are as priests. And again, some of that rests on a leadership issue. I repent for that, but we're never going back. Amen? We're going to become healthy Christians who know who we are, who can operate in our priesthood and kingship and walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we are. So as you look at these things, in Exodus chapter 40, and you don't have to put up the scripture, there's a tent called the tabernacle, and Moses would meet with people, and he would go in, and the glory cloud of God would come on this tent. And all of Israel would watch it, and Moses would come out, and his face would be glowing, right? I mean, that's the glory of the Lord. Do you guys know that God's number one goal in your personal life and our corporate life is that his presence would actually show up? Do you guys know just because we come to a church, it doesn't mean that his presence is going to show up? We can just go through the motions of it, but he doesn't want us to. When we walk in unity, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing through the week and loving God and worshiping God, and then we corporately come together, like this weekend coming, I believe this, we're going to watch the glory of the Lord fill this place. People are going to get healed. People are going to get words of encouragement that are going to change their life forever, because that's who God is. Now, we need to do that on a regular basis to take over the world. Amen? Do you guys know that's God's plan, by the way? Do you guys know that God's plan was that you and I move in priesthood and kingship, not lording it over? It would be the opposite of what religion has done. It would be you and I loving people so well because we've learned how to love ourselves and love God as a priest, and that love overflows to people. And in your business life, you're so successful because your kingship is in order, because your priesthood is in order, that people are like, man, how come you're so successful? How come everything you touch turns to gold? Because I have a Father who is so good to me. You won't even believe it. I just talk with him every morning, and he downloads wisdom. And I wasn't sure if I should acquire that. And I said, Dad, what do you think? Is that a good idea? And he goes, yes, acquire that one, but not that one. And this turned into multi-millions of dollars, and that one failed. How many guys know Papa knows all things? That's how he wants us to live. Most of us are trying to do this on our own. Church, here's the Reformation. Quit trying to do it on your own. You have a Father who wants to meet with you every day and download wisdom and love to you to show you how you can be successful in everything in life. Amen? So the glory of God would fill. So when I talk about his glory, everybody say presence. I'm talking about his presence. 400 years later, Solomon builds the most magnificent temple in the history of the world, even to this day. The money that it would have cost, there's still been no building in modern history that costs what Solomon's temple would be. As they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, all of a sudden the glory of the Lord fell, and the priests could not even do their duties because the presence of God was so strong. Have you ever been in a meeting? Have you ever been in a home group in prayer or been in a service where the glory of the Lord fell, where it was so strong you kind of just had to stop and get on your face? Anybody? I've had that happen a few times. I'd like to have it more. Amen. Come on. I want the presence of God to fall. Do you not want his presence to come? I really do. So as we unravel this, as we look at history, by the time we're talking literally from 2500 BC to 400 BC is the Old Testament. So if you were to break the Old Testament down, I'm going to give you four sections of the Old Testament. So I don't know if you've thought about it this way, but there's the first five books of the Bible called the Torah or the Pentateuch, right? So those are the first five books of the Bible. So if you look at those, that's where God's creation and he starts this process. Then we go into the historical books that start in Joshua and go through Esther. And then we go into the next section, which is the wisdom and lyrical books, which is the book of Job through Song of Songs. And then we start with the prophetic books, which the major prophets, Isaiah to Daniel, right? and then Hosea to Malachi, the minor prophets. So God has literally 2,000 years of history in the Old Testament. Then we have 2,000 years of history in the New Testament. But what is it all about? Like, really, what is it really? The story from Genesis to Revelation. What's the real story? God created us to be with us. Man sinned, and it created guilt and shame to fall on us as a human race. And most people walk in it still to this day. God set up systems to cleanse people from it, ultimately sending his son so that you as a priest could now go straight into the throne room of God. How many of you guys know that when the Levitical priesthood took over, the high priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies once a year to sprinkle blood on the altar to cover all of our sin? How many of you guys know historically that's what the Old Testament did? Here's what's crazy. Jesus shed his blood once and for all people, so that every single Christian now can walk straight into the throne room of God. You don't have to be a Levite. You don't have to be of that Levitical priesthood. You can be a Christian, and God gives you access back to him fully. Amen? Here's what's crazy. Jews, when young Jewish boys start studying the Bible, guess where they start? Leviticus. It's the book that I avoided for most of my Christian life. I need to read the whole Bible through a year. When I get to Leviticus, I am scanning reading. I'm doing the speed reading thing. It's like, yes, God, yes, yes. And they cut open a bull and its guts went everywhere and blood and yes, great. And then the priests do this. Yes, yes, let's get to some good stuff. Why would Leviticus be the first place that Jews would have their kids learn when it's about the last place that Christians study? I would tell you that if you study Leviticus carefully, you will find that it's actually about preserving the presence of God. I would tell you that Leviticus is all about his presence and how we preserve it. If you study your biblical history, you will find that as the Jews would go through different seasons of life, God's presence would come and bless them, and then they would turn away from God, and his presence would leave them. Amen? By the time the Babylonians came and took Israel captive, they had desecrated the temple, right? They destroyed their own temple, and the glory of God had left. Who's the temple of God today? Who's the temple? Do you guys know the types and shadows all throughout Scripture was God trying to bring understanding back to us? His intention for humans always was to carry his presence and be with him. And it's really quiet again. I apologize for not teaching better about these things. We're going to shift that so you understand the fullness of why you're on this earth. God wants to talk to you every day. So you learn to love and worship him. He will download healing and bring literal emotional healing and physical healing to your life. And he'll give you wisdom how to be super successful and be witnesses to people. Amen? It's what Christians are supposed to do. So I want to look at a handful of scriptures, because as we shift to the New Testament, I want to look at what Jesus did for us. John chapter 1. Go to the John 1 scripture if you would, please. Thank you. The word became flesh and made his what? Everybody say dwelling. And he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his, say glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word dwelling there is representing tabernacle. It's the exact same. This is a Greek word, but it's the same Hebrew word, right? Used of the temple or the tabernacle of God. Okay? Jesus came and fulfilled everything that needed to be done in the Old Testament in the New, and the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was released. So next verse. I want to talk about Pauline theology really quick on where the presence of God is. Paul is being a little bit of a smart aleck when he says this: do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Everybody say, temple of the Holy Spirit. Once again, here we go. Every Jew knew that the temple or the tabernacle represented God's presence. New Testament, God is now shifting the mindset of Jews and new Christians. Say, listen, you are the temple. There's no longer just this building that I'm going to fall in. You individually are my temple. You hold my presence. Here's what blows my mind. God shifted everything when Jesus died, and no longer did he just come upon us. He now dwells inside of us. The greatest entity in all of the earth, you guys, is that the presence of God dwells inside of us, and most of us don't realize it, and we don't harness it, and we don't nurture it, and we don't appreciate the reality of who God is in us. Amen? And we're going to learn to do that. So do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. How many of you guys know we should all probably do a better job guarding our bodies, spirit, soul, mind, body? Man, that donut's attacking me right now. I'm sorry. No joke, one of my friends sent me a picture of a fat cat this morning and said, this is what a cat looks like when it eats the third donut. She was messing with me because she knows I love donuts on Sunday mornings, man. It's okay, you holy people, get off my back. Okay, look at Pauline theology. I'm trying to paint a picture for you about his presence and who hosts it and how we walk in it. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body, spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So when God tells not for us to be having light and darkness, how many of you guys know God is not saying don't ever go live with people that aren't Christians out there in the world and eat with them and talk with them? That's not what he's saying. In the context, what Paul is saying, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you have God in you, do not get so connected to people that they would taint you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Of course we're going to go out and live in the world, just don't be of the world. God wants us to go witness and love people well, amen? He wants us to do that. But if the world is influencing you, then get brutally honest about it and say, listen, the world is starting to taint my temple and it's messing with me, and I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to have to get wisdom on how much I hang with certain people. How many of you guys know some of our friends, I love them, but they'll yank you down in a minute. Like, I'm not being mean. I have friends. I love them. But you know what I found out? I'm like, it's like sticking a vacuum cleaner on my side, and it just sucks life out of me. Wow. Listen to me carefully. My temple was depleted because I thought I was supposed to be everything to everybody. I had the savior complex. Oh, I'm gonna save them all. I'm gonna help them all. You cannot live for somebody else. You got to be your own priest. And you know what happened? My temple was losing life because I kept trying to do all these things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. I should have spent more time being a priest unto God instead of a priest unto man. If you don't become a priest unto God and you try to be priest unto men, men will suck life out of you. When you become a priest unto God, then you'll have something to give unto man. Amen? Amen. There's a balance in that. Next verse. Pauline theology still. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his what? Household. Get it? Tent, household, tabernacle. This is where the presence of God dwells. You are a priest of God and his spirit lives in you. And when you start to take note of that, you and I will start to live differently. Amen? built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, everybody say building. In him, the whole building is joined and rises to become a holy what? God is talking about you and me. Pauline theology is this: your body, your individual frame, is now the house of God. His presence dwells in you. Like, okay, Craig, yeah, I got it. I know that. I'm not asking you to have head knowledge of it. I'm asking you to have revelatory heart knowledge of it that actually is experiential, that you and I would go, whoa, God lives inside of me. I want to get connected to that. I don't want to ignore that. I want to live in it. Amen? Next verse. And in him, too, we are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives. Where does God live? In our dwelling place by his what? Everybody say spirit. Church, this is just crazy. God's spirit, God himself, lives inside of you. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is dwelling inside of your house. How many of you guys know maybe I need to clean house a little? If you thought about it this way, how many of you guys know if Jesus was coming to your house, you'd clean your house up? Come on. You would clean your house and you would be ready for Jesus to come. Here's what's weird. This is where he lives every day and we aren't cleaning house. We've got used to his glory because we haven't seen it manifest in the fullness. We need to shift that and have a reformation. Amen. Now watch what Paul does. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So check it. He goes from chapters 1 and 2 in Ephesians, and he talks about who you are in Christ. 16 different times in 2 chapters, he talks about us being in Christ and Christ in us. This shifts him, moving into chapter 3, where now there's this apostolic prayer. Go back to the previous verse, if you would. There's this apostolic prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. For what reason? What caused the Apostle Paul to fall on his knees and start praying for you? What would cause that, you guys? How many of you guys know this is real? He's not just making this up to sound spiritual. This is how he lived his life. This is him moving in his priesthood. This is what priests do. Part of what you and I do as priests, we intercede for people. Because I understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and Christ is in us and we are in him, I now fall on my knees and this is what I pray. Now watch his prayer. I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Where? Where is he asking you to be strengthened? Who's in there? Who's in your temple right now? Holy Spirit is living inside you. This is Paul's prayer. I pray that you would be strengthened in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. This is God's heart. I created you. I'm the Father of all creation. I made mankind because I wanted to be with you. I wanted to sit with you every day. I wanted to hang out with you every single day. I gave you free will. Choice was made. Sin entered the world, and it jacked man up. It didn't jack God up. God came down every day to say, hey, I still want to talk to you. But guess what? Man hid. Let me lovingly say this to you. Quit hiding from God. Quit coming to church on Sunday only, and the rest of the week you kind of do your own thing. Learn to get connected to Jesus and learn how to become a priest and a king for him. Amen? Like, spend a few minutes. Like, we just talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago. I love it. One of the junior high girls who was going through life, right? How many of you guys know junior high girls go through life? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, some of you need to pray in the Spirit right now over those kids. Lord, help me. It was so cool. Last week, she comes running up to me after church and says, "Hey, I love the boldness of this. I feel like you have a word for me." I do. Quit being presumptuous. How many guys know no loving father would ever do that? No priest would do that. If you're a good priest, you wouldn't try to be holy above people. You would live with people and care for people. So guess what? I didn't know. I had no revelation or anything. How many of you guys know all you got to do is stop and look right inside? Why? Why would I look inside? Because that's where Holy Spirit is. I don't have to go try to find something. All I got to do is stop for a second and be like, all right, let's pray. God, I just pray for favor. I just speak blessing. I just ask, Papa, that you would pour out love and goodness and direction and understanding, that even though that you think you're going one way, God has a different plan. And I actually believe this word is for you, Hannah. I really believe that. Even though you think you're going to go a direction, God says, I have different plans for you. You think you've got the next year mapped out. Don't be surprised if I throw a curveball at you. Don't be surprised if I tell you something different. Don't be surprised if I just say, nope. Breaks, stop, because I have deep plans for you, and I'm establishing some things in your life that are going to matter forever. I actually believe that is for you, but I just prayed for this kid, and guess what? All of a sudden, God started to give me revelation knowledge about some things in her life, and I just spoke to her for 5 minutes. Guess who got here this morning? She's in with the junior hires right now. Guess who came in at the end of first service when I was praying for people? I saw her standing at the door, and for real, she came. So guess what I did? You know why? Because I just want to relate to her and not be like, hey, I prayed for you last week. No. Guess what? How are you doing? I'm good. Had a good week. What happened? She starts telling me. I said, good. I said, you've been praying in the Spirit? I've been trying. I said, well, let's practice right now. So we stopped for 30 seconds, started praying. She's like, that's cool. I go, it is. Why? Because Holy Spirit lives in us. You guys, you and I are kings and priests. Let me wrap this up. Go to the next scripture. Here's what Peter says. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God as precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Watch this. Everybody say spiritual house. You're being built in a spiritual house to be a what? Please catch this. New Testament theology. You are all housing Holy Spirit. Your body is his temple, and every one of you are priests of God. Every one of you. God has called you to be a priest. Well, what does a priest do? What a priest would do would get up, and he would do morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, prayers throughout the day, and in the evening he would go through the same routine. How many of you guys know that might be a good model for you and I? Take 5 minutes, you guys. I'm not saying, look, get up and spend 5 hours with God. Look, we live in a busy culture. Get up and spend 5 minutes with God, and it'll turn to 10. I feel resistance right now. Wait, I got it. Don't go away. Just start lining up right now. I'm messing around, kind of. But I believe that I got a word a week ago to lovingly do this to you for real. It's time we awaken, church. It's time that you learn. Why do I say it? Because when you hang out with the loving Papa I'm talking about, guess what? You're not going to get in your darkness near as much. You want to know about Pastor getting free? Do you want to know? Okay. 35 years I've been a Christian. For 30-something of those, there's always been hidden little places I don't even want to talk about. Mind battles. Crap. I don't even want to say anything to anybody about any of it. But as I started to move more into my identity, to go get counseling, some of you listen, some of you need inner soul healing and you need counseling to become the priest God wants you to be because there's hurt and brokenness. And if you don't do it, you'll never become the full priest God wants you to. And I'll talk to some of the men for a second.
Well, I don't need no counselor. I don't need no counselor. I got the Holy Spirit.
Well, guess what? If you hung with him a lot, you probably wouldn't. But most of us are too thick-headed. So guess what? I had to go to about 5-6 different counselors. You know why? Because that's how thick-headed I am. Here's what's crazy. As I started to spend more time with him and apply some of the tools I was given, all of a sudden, instead of always being busy for God, connecting the people and letting them suck life out of me, I learned how to connect with God. I was always running for God, but I wasn't getting connected to God. And all of a sudden, as this started to take root in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, all of a sudden, all that, and when I say all, not all, most of that junk, I almost said crap, that would be bad. Most of that junk, it just is dissipating. I don't even know what to tell you. When I'm learning to sit with him to start my day, right, instead of running for him, all of a sudden, he's doing something in my life for real. And I'm like, that stuff that pulled me, I'm like, nah, not going there. Don't really want to. Or if I do, okay, how many of you guys know we screw up? Yeah. Fall down on our face, right? This week. Any honest, holy people tell the truth? Priests tell the truth. Or you can write Ichabod over your head. Some of you know. Anyway. Here's what I do now. As a priest. Before, I had these patterns and issues, and they would just cycle on whatever basis, because that's how life was for me. And I would fight it, and I wouldn't say nothing to people. And I don't know why I didn't share this first service. I don't know. Whoever this is for, probably all of us. I don't know. Right? Cycle. Didn't want to talk about it. Never talked about it to my friends. No, guess what? Scripture says we should be confessing. If I'm a good priest, then I'm not going to just confess your sins. I first have to start with mine. If you study Old Testament scripture, before the priest brought the sacrifice to cover you, he covered himself first. It is hypocritical for any of us trying to be priests to talk about how I'm trying to help you when I can't even help me. So guess what? Now I pick up the phone or I walk into my buddy's office like this morning. Hey, I need to talk to you for a minute. I'm under attack right now, man. It's been a rough week. I've had the enemy trying to stink and smack me. Anybody? Yes. Right? Christine's up taking care of Papa, craziness, kids, all these things, life, junk, coming after me. I said, I need you to pray for me. I'm telling you, this happened at 7:30 this morning here in this building. I'm telling you how to be a priest. I'm telling you, if you want his glory in your life, when you screw up, you don't hide it anymore. You bring stuff in the light and say, pray for me, bro, because I need your help, because I'm not going to live this way the rest of my life. I'm not going to get before God and go, I knew, but I just couldn't do it. I knew I should, but I never did. When you and I spend time with Jesus, listen, come Thursday nights, you guys, for real. His presence is like thick. Sign up for the conference. We do it because there's something of a corporate gathering. Like, listen, what are you going to do Friday night? Go to a movie? I promise you his presence is going to be better than any movie you watch Friday. Promise. Let's pray. Well, for whatever reason, you guys, my last three scriptures didn't get read and my whole ending was totally different. God freaks me out. This is what I hear. God loves you so much. There's a handful of you right now that guilt and shame is trying to own you. It's trying to beat you right now. It's trying to like destroy your mind. It's something you've battled for a long time. And the cycles of your life, you're frustrated and you don't want them to keep repeating, but they keep repeating and you're stinking sick and tired of it, but you don't know what to do. If that's you, stand up right now. Be honest. If that's you, stand up. Well, I don't, that might be embarrassing. Listen, this is what I know. Pride will kill your priesthood. I'm just telling you super honestly, pride will kill your priesthood. Jesus came to this earth, God in the flesh. He took on full humility, and we are his. So, Papa, you see every one of us that are standing right now. And, Lord, I bless those that should be. No guilt, no shame. Many more of you should, and it's okay. And if you feel like it as I pray, then do. And if you don't, it's okay. God loves you, and he can still talk to you. I'm just encouraging you. Lord, I thank you that you're bringing reformation because we're choosing it. So, Lord, would you open the heavens this morning? Would you break into every one of our hearts? God, would you help us to put you right back at the center? Because we are all priests and we're all kings before your throne. So I pray for every single person. I'm going to ask if our prayer teams would come up right now. And I'm going to ask all you that are standing, come up here. I want to pray with you guys. I want you guys to all come up front. We don't do this on Sundays often. We do it on Thursdays. But if you stood up, come up here. I want to pray corporately over you as a priest with you. You guys, come squeeze right up here to the very front. Just squeeze in right here. If you're out there, I want you guys to be priests. You should be interceding right now. For all of you Christians, if you're like new and you're like, well, I'm not even a Christian yet, then I would encourage you after, come and see one of our prayer teams because it'll change your life forever. Jesus truly will change your life. But for most of you out there, please take the next 2 minutes and intercede. That's part of what priests do. We pray. We intercede on behalf of others. So please start doing that. I want you guys to all look at me, all of you up here. Check it out. God is so proud that you would stand up, right, and walk up here. Now, God wants all of us to start learning how to walk into new places of freedom. Amen. For real. He's asking us to do it. And so today, I bless you, and I honor you, and I speak life over you, and I want you guys to pray this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that I am a priest, that I am a king or a queen. You created me to know you, to be with you. And I invite your presence like never before into my mind, into my heart, and into my spirit. Today, I renounce every lie, every connection to darkness. And today is a new day. From this day forward, I will bring everything in the light and it will destroy the enemy. Light destroys darkness. So today, I thank you that your light is shining in me. From this day on, I will walk with you and pray with you and talk with you. And I will love you And when guilt and shame come, I will tell them to shut up. And I will call a friend and say, pray for me. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I speak life over every single person right here. And I'm asking, Father, that there would be a continual breaking in of your goodness, of your spirit. I'm asking that you would move. Now, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I want our prayer teams to come. Prayer teams, you come in and start praying for people. So everybody else, if you would stand with me, look, if you need to go, I want to pray, I want to bless you, I get it, but we're going to pray. And if any of you need prayer for anything today, then you come too, because we're going to pray for you. But we're going to stay up here for a few minutes and pray, and I get we have schedules in life, I get it. So if you have to go, I totally understand that. So Father, I speak a blessing of favor and love over every single one of us that are here today. I'm asking that you would move. I'm asking, Papa, that even today, you would pour out your love and your mercy and your goodness. Go before every one of us today. Give us favor. And Lord, this week, I just pray you remind us to pray for our conference. Yes. I pray that throughout the week, Holy Spirit, you would quicken our minds. And when you do, we'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for the conference because I believe this God is going to do some amazing things. So, Lord, release your grace and release your love in Jesus' name.